Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. Wow, it's good to see your lovely, beautiful faces this morning. My name is Henry, and I have the privilege of sharing the word with you this morning. Is that okay? Okay, so carrying on with our Neighbours series today, okay? And so our text this morning that we're going to be reading from. Okay, can we be all upstanding, please? And let's read God's word together. Is that okay? Okay, let's read. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one. Someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the Father, in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power and authority in your word, Father. Lord, as we delve into your word this morning, Father, Lord, prepare our hearts and our minds, Father God, to hear from you. Personalize your word to each and every one of us this morning. In Jesus' mighty and wonderful name, amen. The title of my message this morning is Discipling My Neighbor. Discipling My Neighbor. Turn to someone and say, Discipling My Neighbor. So this morning we're going to be looking at how we can establish foundations for our neighbors. We're going to be looking at how we can build an environment for discipling them. You know, what this environment will look like. What are the tools that we can use to sort of help them grow in this area? And we will also be looking at Jesus and how he did it for his disciples. And so from our text this morning that we've just read, this is Jesus on his final night, just before he's going to be betrayed. And the scene is set at this gathering with his disciples. Jesus knows what's going to happen. His disciples have no idea. They're thinking that this is just another Passover with Jesus. And so from chapters 13 to 14, Jesus does this, probably the most detailed teaching for his disciples in terms of reminding them and teaching them about the things to come. He washes their feet. He tells them of the one that will betray him tonight. He talks of a new commandment, and he foretells of Peter's denial, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then we arrive in chapter 15, and this is where Jesus tells them about the commandment to love one another as he has loved us. This is how we will establish foundations with our neighbors, by loving one another as I have loved you. You know, I was thinking about this when I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I was in my early 20s. I was a good boy. I was a mommy's boy. I didn't smoke or drink or do drugs, you know, because I thought only the bad boys do that. I'm not a bad boy. And so that was me. And as I was going along this journey of walking with Christ, there were some key people helped me to get established in my walk with Christ. Firstly, it was my sisters. Now, my sisters are the one on your left in the front and the one at the back, Amy and Gardenia. Now, these guys showed me Christ in a real way at home. Before I accepted Christ, I was a shocking brother to them. I know it's hard to believe, eh? But, I was, especially when they became believers, when they became followers of Christ, I would always try to make things so difficult for them. I would make them do my chores. I'd play their big bad brother card, you know, be bossing them around and stuff like that. No one here does that to their brothers or sisters, eh? But, you know, I spoke to them really ugly, you know, and they just seemed to just continuously love me, speak graciously to me. And it was like that I was trying to bait them to react in a particular way. you know? I was wanting to hear from them. I wanted them to snap at me. And so that I could say to them, so that's what your Jesus is like, eh? But you know what? I never got to utter those words to them. They just continued to show love for me. They continued to reflect the love of Christ that was in them to me. And I had no way of responding. I just didn't know what to say to that. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus knew that discipleship wasn't just about a program. It wasn't about an event or a Bible study. He knew that it was all about relationship. Everybody say relationship. You know, so I love the quote. When I first heard this quote from Joey Bonifacio, discipleship is relationship. Everyone say, discipleship is relationship. And I love that quote. That's it, man. We see Jesus building relationships with his disciples. And it wasn't just about going through, a program or a five-step process and then you become a disciple. It was about Jesus discipled them through relationship, through everyday living. And relationships are built on the journey. You know, think about it. When you go through life, whether it's a tough situation or through a tough season in your life, there can be people that will stick with you through those times, through those hard times. You know, they're there when you're crying. They're there when you're hurting. They're there when things are going well. But then they're also there when you disagree with each other. That's the relationship of discipleship. Being there during those tough times. You know, I saw this in two guys that played a part in helping me forming and establishing my foundations. Soon after accepting Christ, these two guys, their names Samu and Bati, they were instrumental in really helping me to not only understand but see and experience this new journey in the walk with Christ. You know, they were doing life with me in terms of, you know, we'll hang out, we'll go to, they'll take me out to lunch and stuff. We'll go to family gatherings together and stuff. You know, we'll just kick it like that. You know, that's how we hung out together. But at the same time, I was also getting trained. I was also getting discipled in terms of there was a resource that I went through at that time. And the book was called Successful Christian Living. Wow, with a title like that, how can I fail? You know, Successful Christian Living. That was the book that I sort of went through that sort of gave me a framework on which to walk out my new Christian life. And it was part and parcel of this relationship building side as well as this teaching side. They go hand in hand. They were doing life with me. You know, being there, going through stuff together. That is what it was like for me. Getting the family feel of being part of and being involved in, you know, the church family, as well as learning and building my foundation in my new walk with Christ. You know, for us as a church, we have a great tool as well that is readily available for us to be able to use in times like that. Anyone seen the one-to-one app? Yes. Yeah. Okay. I don't want to embarrass anyone, okay, but who's got this on your phone? Who's got it on your phone? Oh, proud people. Love it, love it, love it. Yes, it's a great tool to have, you know, and it's so easy to use. Honestly, I challenge you, please download the app. Go into App Store or the Play Store, download the app one-to-one. The icon that you're looking for is the one on the right, or the left, sorry, on your left side. Okay, download it. Have a read through it. It's a great way to sort of go through and introduce someone, a conversation with people about church, about God. And in the middle, there's some screenshots there. You know, the contents that it covers, salvation, lordship, repentance. And then when you go into each session, there's a key passage that you're looking at. There's discussion. And then at the end, there's an awesome application part. It forces you to have engagement with the person. You're asking questions of what you've read. What is it that God is telling you? Is that cool? One-to-one. Okay, everyone say one-to-one. Oh, come on. Okay, discipleship is relationship. So discipleship isn't just a Sunday thing. It isn't just a Sunday thing or a life group thing. It's a life thing. It's doing life together. All right? I think about my two closest disciples. I know. They look like their daddy. But they got my wife's skin color. But yeah, you know, so I look at my kids. My kids are each unique. They have their own personalities. They have their own gifts and talents. They are very different. And so me, as a disciple maker, I cannot disciple them both the same way. Because one will accept it, the other one will reject it. One will listen, and the other one will just forget about it. That's kids. Discipleship is relationship. You know, a couple of weeks ago, my son, he goes to me, "Daddy, what do you call that person that tells people what to build?" And I'm like, a builder? And then he goes away. And then, like, later that day, he goes to his mom. And he says to his mom, "Mom, God told me that I'm going to be one of those people that tell people to build something." And then when later that night, we're together, we're watching TV. I think we're watching The Voice of all programs. We're watching The Voice as a family. And then my wife, she says that to me. And I'm like, "What? Did he say God told him this?" And we're like, "Okay." And so for us as a family, okay, I was like, "Oh, okay." It was like this spontaneous moment of fellowship for our family. Like, "Turn off the TV right now. We've got something to talk about." And so I turned off the TV. And then I started to share to my kids about this. There was this prophetic word that our family received back in at our APEC conference last year in KL, in Kuala Lumpur. And I went with Pastor Nelly. And so that just came to mind, and I played it to them. And they were listening to it. And the word that my son was given was this. His name was a prophetic name, in a way that he would do things prophetically. He is a deep thinker. An eye for details, just like his mom. Sometimes he would be misunderstood. And me and my wife were looking, "I told you, it's you." You know? And he had leadership anointing on him. Oh my goodness. And he's told us, "Dad, God told me I'm going to be one of those people that tell people to build stuff." I'm like, "Thank you, Jesus, for showing me this." You know, sometimes we can get so bogged down on what our kids are not doing. You know, hey, you know, "Oh, these kids, they're driving me nuts. You know, these kids are making me pull my hair out." But we need to all keep our eyes focused on what has God got for them? What is God's plan for them? You know, that is part of the relationship building, is that we can still keep our eyes focused on the bigger picture, but still walk through whatever challenges, whatever situations that we're going through right here, right now. Right? Discipleship is relationship. You know, when we can use everyday moments to be able to speak and discuss God's purpose, when we can use everyday conversations with people, God-inspired, God-led, then it will come naturally to us to disciple our neighbors. Amen? So how did Jesus build his relationships with his disciples? First thing that I see is that he put the focus on his Father. He put the focus on his Father. You know, we hear it in this text that we've read today. Okay, in verse 15, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father," everyone say, "my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever the Father," everyone say, "the Father, in my name, he may give it to you." Jesus was doing the will of the Father. "I have told you these things from him." He was telling his disciples the very things that God was telling him. John 12, verse 44 to 45, says, "And Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me, sees him who sent me." You know, Jesus always reminded people that he was sent by the Father. He was here going about the Father's business. That was his purpose, to come on this earth and show people how to be obedient to the will of the Father. When people are building on something that is bigger than they are, like living out the God-given calling and purpose of making disciples, That is a good foundation to be building on. Amen. Because if I was to try and sell you my mission in life, or my agenda, or my building my kingdom, I think you'll be angry with me. I think you will probably get frustrated with me. I think you will probably not like me a lot. Because at the end, you could have this picture of God that God doesn't work. Because I've seen it not work in this person's life. So it doesn't work for me. And that is the very reason why we need to have a foundation that is built on God and God alone. Because people are going to fail us. You know? We're going to be hurt by people. But if our foundation is firmly built on God and what He's called us to be, then I think things are going to be different, right? Put the focus on God. Put the focus on God. On His purpose and on His plan. You know, what else did Jesus do to build His disciples? Well, He was patient with them. Be patient with people. Jesus had a lot of patience for His disciples to be able to learn and grow. And you know, I thought of it like this. You know, everywhere Jesus went, it was like this portable or mobile learning environment, right? That wherever they were, it was an opportunity to learn. You know, I think about that time when they were up on the hillside and there were 5,000 people there. It was late in the afternoon. And you know, and the disciples come up to Jesus, okay, Jesus, what we're going to do now? There's, you know, it's getting late. We need to get these people home and stuff like that. And so Jesus says to them, okay, what are we going to do, guys? And the guys are like, well, I don't know, you know. And they're like, and Jesus, okay, what have we got? What have we got? Oh, we just got some bread and some fish here. Bring it here. And Jesus, you know, He shows them, He blesses it, and then He feeds 5,000 plus people. What a learning experience. What a learning environment to be in. Now, I like to look at Peter, you know, how he became a disciple. He's a fisherman. You know, he's a good fisherman. He also was one that wasn't scared to speak out, right? He was probably the most outspoken one of all the disciples. You know, there were times that we think, Peter, mate, you are the man, right? You are the man, Peter. Case in point, Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20. Tells of when Jesus asked His disciples, so who do you say I am? Who do you think I am? And it's Peter's response that gets all the attention, because Peter says this, you are Christ, Son of the living God. And Christ confirms His answer by saying that the response that Peter had given wasn't revealed to him by a man, but was revealed to him by God Himself. In verse 17, and Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. What a statement. God has spoken through you, Peter. Peter, you are the man. And then in the space of about a couple of minutes later, Peter's probably thinking, mate, I'm feeling pretty good at the moment. And so he jumps into this conversation just after Jesus has, he's been talking to His disciples, and Jesus is telling His disciples about the things ahead, about the suffering that He has to go through, about the teachers and the Pharisees that He has to go before, and they're going to crucify Him, and He's going to be put on the cross, and He's going to die, and then He's going to be raised up to life in 3 days later. And Peter's like, okay, I need to set this straight. And so Peter rolls up to Jesus, pulls Him aside, and he says to Jesus, Jesus, this ain't happening on my watch, all right? It's not going to play out like that, Jesus. Not while I'm here. You know what's coming, eh? Verse 23. That must be the longest minute of Peter's life right there, you know? Jesus turns to him. And He says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Ouch! poor Peter. What's he thinking? This is emotional, Peter. Jesus, man. You just said God spoke to me, man. And now you're saying, get away from me. I'm calling, you call me Satan? And I'm a hindrance to you? Come on, man. You can't do that to me. You see, Peter was the type of guy that would say things that a lot of the other people were only thinking. He didn't think through a lot of things, right? There's no one in here like that, right? You just, nah. I heard it from the men, nah. Us men, nah. Never the men. But that was Peter. And Jesus is so gracious to him. Peter, pulling aside Jesus to tell him, yeah, nah, nah, it's not going out like that, Jesus. How patient are you when it comes to the people that you're discipling? How patient will you be? You know, there are going to be times. You know, Jesus is patient with Peter. So, there are going to be times when we need to be patient with the people that we're discipling, okay? You know, there are going to be times when they may say or do some incredibly spiritual things. And then there are going to be some times when they say and do some incredibly stupid things. But we need to be patient with them, right? We need to continue to show that love that Christ has first shown to us, to them. We need to be that reflection of Jesus in their life. No matter if they stuff up, hey, they've stuffed up, okay, but I still want to be here with you. Let's walk through this together, okay? Is that good? Is that all right? Any Peters in here? Any Peters in here? Yep. One right here. We need to be patient with them. We need to be patient with them. So, it's just a little chart I threw together, okay? So when we as a disciple maker, okay, when we put the focus on God, okay, us as the discipler, when we put the focus on God, the response that we would like to see in our neighbor, in the person that we're discipling, is that they will look to God, all right? They will look to God, that they would see God as their source, that they would see Him as the one that they need to go to. We want to point people to God. When we as a disciple maker are patient with our neighbors, the response that we want to see in the people that we're discipling is that they will trust in Christ. That they will trust in Christ. They will not lean on you. They will not lean on their own understanding, but that they will put their complete trust and hope in Christ alone. And the third and final thing here is that when we love our neighbors, no matter what they may say or do, that we continue to love them. We continue to love them. Love them through it. Continue to fight for them through it. Because by doing this prayerfully, they will respond by honoring God. They will live a life that will be honoring to God. This is how we can disciple our neighbors. Through building relationships with them. Taking them through the tools that are available to us, like the one-to-one, the foundations for victory, and making disciples. You know, we've seen some awesome things out of Victory Weekend, right? You agree? People being set free, relationships restored, baptisms. But the growing and learning doesn't stop there. That's not the destination. The next part of the journey is making disciples. The next part of the journey is where we continue to learn how to communicate the gospel effectively and how to run life groups effectively. What is the use of us knowing the answer to a person's question and yet we don't know how to communicate it to them? At the Making Disciples, you'll learn how to do that. Making disciples. So if you have completed the foundations for victory, you've attended Victory Weekend, and you're wanting to know what now? Making disciples is the next part. Making disciples. So we've got our next classes. We're starting in 8th of July. 8th of July, and it's going to be four Sundays in the afternoon. So mark that date in your calendar. Put your name down at the guest services, okay? Is that cool? So now our next round of Foundations for Victory will be in August, okay? So for those people that that you're discipling right now, that haven't been to a Victory Weekend yet, that haven't been through a Foundations for Victory, that's going to be the prime time for you to introduce them to that in August, okay? Foundations for Victory. And you know what? I encourage you, if you're going to be encouraging them to go along to these classes, I'd encourage you to be there with them as well, right? We've been talking about how discipleship is relationship, right? The relationship is built on the journey. So if you're there with them, alongside with them, sitting in those classes with them, you know, hearing dialogue with them, you know, that's gonna really solidify your relationship with them. That will build trust into speaking into their lives. Amen. Everyone say foundations. Okay, you would have walked in this morning and you would have been given one of these. Anyone got one of those? Yes. Pick it up. You've probably scrunched it on the ground. Mine's a bit wrinkled. Okay, grab that. Okay, my top 10 list. No, it's not your top 10 list of restaurants. It's your top 10 list of people. These are the people. This is the names of people that you want to put down. People that do not know Christ yet. People that you are building with right now. People that you are connecting with, that you're hoping to introduce, bring to a personal relationship with Jesus. If you're praying for them, put their names down, okay? So what we're going to do right now, I want to give you 1 minute, okay? 1 minute. We're going to do a little quick application here, okay? Give you 1 minute, and I want you to write down as many names as that can come to mind about people that you need to connect with. People that you are going to, you know, make an effort with and praying with regularly. Everyone say praying regularly. Praying regularly for them, okay? But also making an effort to connect with them, whether it's a phone call or just a, you know, meeting up for a coffee or something, okay? But I'm going to give you a minute just to spend some time to pray and ask God, okay, who are the people that you want me to intentionally be praying for, Lord God? Is that okay? Okay, your minute starts now.
While you're writing down those names, can we give it up for Henry? What a great challenge for all of us as disciples of Christ. Let me just continue to write. I'll talk over the top of your writing. Henry did mention the Making Disciples class, which starts on July the 8th. That'll be happening on Sunday after church. That July the 8th, and that is for everybody who's, like he said, has finished the Foundations class. But I also want to commend, for those of you who lead life groups, to be there, because this is where we're going to retool ourselves, as well as if you've got any interns that you're raising up to lead life groups. The two main objectives of Making Disciples is how to communicate the gospel and how to run a life group. And for some of us, it'll be a refresher, because sometimes we come away with what God has designed life groups for, especially the evangelistic part. If your life group's been looking the same for the last 5-6 months and you haven't had anybody new come through, you definitely need to be there. We really want to encourage you to be there. If you really are serious about wanting to grow in Christ, how many of you know, like, the way you measure the growth of a fruit tree is by its fruitfulness? You can be as large as possible, but if you're not bearing fruit, there's no point. How do we know you're an apple tree? We guess by the plumage. An apple tree is not judged by its leaves and the size of its branches. It's judged by its fruit. And John 15, the passage that Henry read for us today, again, it's not measuring one to another, but if you really want to grow in God, you will bear fruit. And we're going to trust God to be able to bear fruit in discipleship, to be able to make disciples. Now, some of us may hear that and think, oh, that sounds like a lot of work. Basically, the secret to making disciples is to be one and to go deep in Jesus. Because orange trees don't strain to bear oranges. They just are orange trees. They're just watered. They're just in good soil. And they're under the sun, the S-O-N. Corny, I know, but you get what I'm saying? That's a minute. I've given you a minute. Hopefully, you've got 10 friends. If not, then we need to pray and believe God, you can fill that page. The gift of friendship. In the name of Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.